När det blir paus i konserthuset blir det intermezzo i radion. Och det ägnar vi helt åt violinisten Tasmin Little, som jag träffade igår efter repetitionerna. Hon är född i London och är en oerhört efterfrågad violinist. Förra veckan spelade hon Britten's violinkonsert i Manchester, idag Sibelius i Malmö, och på söndag spelar hon och dirigerar Britten's symfonia i Whitwick, England. Nästa vecka firar hon sitt 1000:e professionella engagemang och kort därefter reser hon till Ljubljana. Och just resandet är en av grejerna hon gillar mest med sitt yrke.
It's the nature of the profession to travel, but that's one of the reasons why I like it. One of the things that I very much enjoy about music making is to hear what other people in different countries do, different ideas of repertoire that you already feel you know, but there's always more to learn about.
So do you allow yourself to enjoy the cities and countries that you work in?
It's a crucial part of it. One of the things that I like to do when I arrive, particularly in a country that I've never been to, is to walk around to soak up the atmosphere. I particularly enjoy trying the food from wherever I'm staying, and to just to soak up some of the culture and some of the feel, so that I know the atmosphere of the people that I'm playing to.
Ja, det blir mycket resor, men Tasmin Little tillåter sig inte bli stressad. Visst är vissa perioder mer intensiva än andra. Framme i februari kommer hon under loppet av 5 veckor att ha framfört Glasanovs, Britten's, Sibelius och Elgars violinkonserter, Bachs A-mollkonsert och Mozarts symfonie Concertante. Och hon spelar strängt taget allt utantill. Allt utom Ligetis violinkonsert.
There are some complicated concertos that I use the music for, such as the Ligeti that I did 7 performances with the Berlin Philharmonic. And I wanted to have the music in front of me because it's so complicated. But even that, by the end of the 7 concerts we did, I think I could have played it from memory because it was so deeply in my system by that time. But it's a piece that you simply must not make a rhythmical mistake or hesitate, particularly in the first movement. So it's wise to have the music in front of you just in case.
Next week you'll celebrate your 1000th professional engagement. How do you look upon this milestone in your career?
I feel very proud. I still consider myself relatively young, but obviously very experienced. And I've played in so many different countries and to different kinds of audiences as well. And that's one of the things that I love. When I look back on all of these performances, I've played in just about every situation possible, including I've played in prisons, I've played in schools in the middle of Zimbabwe where they have no access to Western classical music. I've played on a boat on the banks of the Zambezi River to people and hippopotamuses. I've played in the Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, all the major halls practically in the whole world. So I feel proud, but I also feel quite privileged because I have such an interesting life and I could never be bored of what I do.
Stolt och privilegierad känner sig Tasmin Little över att nästa vecka ha 1000 konserter som professionell musiker bakom sig. Och Sibelius violinkonsert som hon har spelat här ikväll är en av hennes absoluta favoriter. Hon ser den som ett tempel som alla violinister försöker komma i närheten av.
This and the Brahms concerto are the two that I would take to my desert island. And the thing that I feel about the Sibelius is that it is a rich and powerful work. It's not a work that you go away from and feel wasn't that fun, wasn't that pleasant. I hope that people will feel wow, what an incredible piece of music that is. What a superb composer he was. Hopefully they will also feel that I did the work justice. The Sibelius Violin Concerto is one of those temples which all violinists aspire to get somewhere near, because it is one of the most challenging works in the repertoire. And Sibelius himself said that he wanted to make it very difficult so that any violinist that attempted it would have to be very good. And I think we're all aware as violinists of the monumental difficulties physically of playing this challenging work. And for instance, in comparison, say, to the Tchaikovsky, which is longer, but you have your moment of space in the second movement of the Tchaikovsky. In Sibelius, you don't really get that opportunity to take your breath at all. It's pretty full on from start to finish. So what I feel at the end of the piece is, I want to feel that I climbed the mountain and I got somewhere near the top, and I hope that everybody will have climbed some of it with me.
Yes, Sibelius was a violinist himself, so he truly knew how to mess things up for other violinists. But
I think you're absolutely right. He knew exactly what he was doing.
But for me, as a non-violinist, it's hard for me to hear these hints and twists and technical details. Could you explain some of those details?
Yes, it's a little bit like the fact that when it's all going right, everybody doesn't realise how difficult it is. And when if it's going horribly wrong, then everybody just thinks you must be really bad.
Sibelius var själv violinist och visste precis hur man krånglar till saker och ting för andra violinister. Det var också hans uttalade ambition med violinkonserten. Den kräver en väldig uthållighet och muskelstyrka. Hela konserten är som ett sjöslag mot den stora symfoniorkestern, säger Tasmin Little. Det finns inte en enda enkel takt och ingen plats för vila och återhämtning. Särskilt sista satsen är ökänd i violinistkretsar med sina löpningar upp och ner över oktaverna.
And then one moment you're up in the stratosphere, and the next minute you have to be right down at the bottom of the violin, but then working your way very quickly up again. So if you are a small female such as myself, you're aware of the distance involved. So it's like running up to the top of a very high staircase and then jumping all the way back down again immediately, landing on your two feet and then running all the way back up again to the very, very top in about 5 seconds. Just to give you some idea.
Okay. How do you choose your repertoire?
Simply by whether I love it. I only like to play the pieces that I feel that I love and that I feel I have something to communicate. There is no point. I've turned down a lot of music because I don't understand it. It doesn't speak to me, and therefore I can't possibly make a performance that will speak to anybody else. It's like speaking a foreign language. If you don't understand the language, there's no hope that anybody else will understand what you're saying. And I feel that music is so much a form of communication that it's absolutely vital that I should know what I'm trying to say so that that will be communicated to my audience.
Is there something that you refuse to play?
Yes, there's a lot that I refuse to play. I'm not going to name any names, though.
Tasmin Little använder två violiner. Hon äger en Guadagnini från 1757, året efter Mozarts födelse. Men det är inte den hon har spelat på här ikväll, utan det är den Stradivarius hon lånar från Kungliga Musikakademin i London. Den är kraftfullare än Guadagninin, vilket krävs för att hävda sig mot symfoniorkestern i ett verk som Sibelius violinkonsert. Och den klarar även den torra luften i konsertlokaler bättre. 1708 är den Stradivariusen byggd, året då Johann Sebastian Bach fyllde 23.
Could you please show it for me?
Yes, I can.
Det ovärdeliga instrumentet ligger i en vanlig violinlåda som Tasmin Little tar som handbagage när hon reser med flyg. Den har en vackert mörk brunröd färg och lacken glänser.
I think it's a beautiful instrument, a really stunning, stunning one to look at, and it's stunning to play as well.
How do you take care of it?
It's quite difficult, to be honest, when you're in a very dry climate, such as here in Malmö, because the air conditioning can dry out the wood. So it's not ideal for an old instrument, I must admit. It's a problem that is prevalent in many concert halls as well, where obviously the air conditioning eventually dries out the atmosphere. But the most important thing is just to make sure it doesn't get knocked, and I take it in to make sure that it's re-glued if there are any problems there.
What makes it so special?
Oh, nobody knows the answer to that. I think everybody wishes they knew, because then they'd be able to recreate what Stradivarius did. I mean, he was just a genius, basically. He was a man that didn't like to repeat what he did. He was always searching for new possibilities, and that's why his instruments got better and better, because he veered away from what was normal and just kept experimenting.
Trots att en Stradivarius är så ömtålig, luftkänslig, unik, värdefull och väljudande, är det aldrig någonsin prat om att spara på de gamla instrumenten till speciella tillfällen eller magasinera dem. Violiner måste spelas på för att överleva, precis som våra muskler måste användas för att inte förtvina.
It's meant to be used. These violins are not meant to be kept in glass cases, and they don't even sound very good if they are never played. A violin needs to be played, because a violin is made of the wood is made of fiber, and fiber is like our own muscle tissue. And if you don't use your muscle, then they become flabby and fat. And if the violin's fibers are not exercised through use of playing, then the instrument itself will not sound good, because the fibers just become too lax. So they need to be played, so they become tight, so they resonate well.
Tasmin Little har spelat in 20 skivor på 15 år, både standardrepertoar och nutida tonsättare. Hon spelade in den estniska kompositören Arvo Pärt redan i början av 90-talet. Det var innan han hade gjort sitt riktigt stora genombrott.
There was something about the sound world that appealed to me enormously. And there is obviously a great spirituality to Arvo Pärt's music. And something of a sense of, I think that one can find a great deal of peace in his music. It's interesting nowadays that people often use music as a semi-religious experience. And Arvo Pärt's music is ideally suited, coming from his deep-rooted spirituality and his own religious beliefs. And so then I wanted very much to record my own disc of his music.
And you told me that this recording is one of your most best-selling records.
It is my most best-selling recording, particularly in Norway and Sweden and Finland. It's been a bestseller, apparently, for a long time. So I'm absolutely delighted that my hunch to put this down on disc was proved worthwhile, because it was quite a leap in the dark.
Innan det direktsända konsertprogrammet fortsätter här från Malmö ska vi lyssna till ett stycke från Tasmin Littles bästsäljande Arvo Pärt-skiva Fratres, som kom 1994. Det blir första satsen ur Tabula Rasa, Ludus, som är ett stycke för två violiner, stråkorkester och preparerat piano, komponerat 1977. Ett stycke som ställer ljud mot tystnad, där melodin utvecklas allt mer ju längre stycket går, på bekostnad av tystnaden som blir kortare och kortare, fram till den vilda finalen, där violinisterna är som instängda i någons ursinnigt knutna näva, men som de slutligen lyckas trassla sig ur.
When it's building to the very, very huge climax at the end, it always strikes me that somebody is shaking his fist. It's very, very angry, if you like. And then the two violin solos are weaving in and out of this, trying to find their way out of the angry fist, if you like, until finally they find their way home to the original chord that opened the piece of music. So it's a very exciting idea. Ludus means game, and I think that the idea of the game is that the game becomes more and more complicated, and then finally you have your end result, which is in fact the same as the beginning.